It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I almost said buenos noches, but that's Spanish. It is Sunday night, May 1st, 2022. Yes, that was my white Lincoln Sport Coupe. That is, what, about, my God, it's almost 15 years ago, when you really think about it. Wow. Yeah, we're hanging out after an event, blasting the music, watching some music videos, having a good time. Hope everybody's having a good time tonight. Hope your weekend has been great. I am here for the next hour to 90 minutes, chatting with all of you. Whatever is on your mind, WWE, AEW, pro wrestling, non-wrestling, whatever you feel like talking about tonight, it's the Sit Down. My family, your family, we're all going to sit, talk. I got my, probably, you know, damn paper towel, double espresso. That's how you drink it. Ah! Here's a little fact about drinking caffeine at night. You know, if you ever wonder, you know, if I have something at night and it's going to keep me up all night, when you have caffeine late at night, 5 hours is the half-life for caffeine, which means that whatever caffeine you put in your system, 5 hours later, half of that caffeine is gone, but the other half is still here. So 5 hours from now will be about 1 a.m. I still have half of that in my system, which I think shouldn't give me uninterrupted sleep. So now I just got to prepare everyone. We had a couple of super chats come in very, very early. And one in particular, hey, you know, Tommy made an offer. I couldn't refuse. $100 super chat. So I had to get video of the question that he asked. So we will talk about that in a little bit. But first and foremost, majority of you are here mainly to talk about wrestling. And we will talk about wrestling. The phone lines will be open in a couple of minutes. So I will put the phone numbers on the screen if you'd like to call in, talk whatever is on your mind. All I ask, as always, is, you know, keep the questions, you know, right to the point. You know, we can't have 25-minute conversations with a singular person, even though I would love that. But we want to get as many people to call in as possible. Last week was awesome. I mean, last week you really showed me not only the quality of the calls, but we were able to, you know, keep it flowing. My apologies for anybody who tried to call in last week and was unable to. But before we even do that, Chris Cutler, if Backlash remains a six-man tag, this is a great question because we touched on this yesterday. This kind of, you know, supersedes, you know, what we talked about, and tomorrow we should have an answer. I mean, I would think we gotta. But if Backlash remains a six-man tag with no titles on the line, do we think Drew McIntyre gives Roman his first loss in 2.5 years to set up a title match? Well, this is how I look at it. Hell in a Cell is the June pay-per-view. Pretty certain Hell in a Cell is June. I would think SummerSlam would be the event if Roman Reigns is going to lose any titles prior to Survivor Series. I think SummerSlam needs to be the event where that happens. So what this means is we have Backlash to get through and we have Hell in a Cell to get through. Do we want to see Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre Hell in a Cell? That seems a little bit rushed, but who else is going to fight Roman Reigns at Hell in a Cell if they fight inside the cell. You know, not every match is in the confines of the cell. You know, it changes lives forever, and it's a, you know, you would think that the feud would have to be further in. But yeah, that is definitely possible. Roman Reigns getting his first pinfall loss in 2.5 years, it doesn't change the title situation. Roman could get pinned at Backlash, yet he's still the champion. If you look at every other belt that WWE has on their roster, you have seen those champions get pinned repeatedly. The Usos have been pinned. Riddle, Randy Orton have been pinned. Ricochet, my God, Ricochet, how many times was he pinned before, you know, anything? Now he's on a winning streak. Look at Finn Balor. Finn Balor was pinned a few times prior to losing that championship. So, yeah, Roman Reigns is the only person right now who has not been pinned while champion. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Having Roman Reigns get pinned for the first time in 2.5 years, that adds instant credibility to Drew McIntyre versus Roman. Because now you go into, whether it's Hell in a Cell or you go into SummerSlam, and you could basically have Michael Cole and Pat McAfee repeat that Drew McIntyre is the first person to pin Roman Reigns since he's become champion. Even though it's non-title, it starts in storyline putting a little bit of concern in Paul Heyman. When Paul Heyman talks with the tribal chief, expect a lot more stuttering. You will hear, I guarantee you hear a lot more stuttering from Paul Heyman if Drew McIntyre pins him. Look, I personally think you got to keep all those belts on the line. As we talked about yesterday, you can have Roman's titles on the line as well. The problem is, what does Drew McIntyre have to offer? You know, you think about it. Tomorrow, the Bloodline is going to be on Raw. So if something happens on Raw where they try to put the titles back on the line, what does Drew McIntyre lose if he loses in the match? See, you want possibly Drew to pin Roman, but you don't want Roman's titles to be on the line this quickly. So, I don't know, WWE, I mean, they obviously have something planned out of this. And remember what I said yesterday. If they keep this 6-man tag with no titles on the line, this could be a little bit of punishment for Jimmy Uso for that footage that came out from his DUI arrest from last year. Because Jimmy Uso came off as an uber asshole, you know, in that video. I mean, look, you know, people that are drunk usually talk stupid, but I don't think WWE was thrilled to see that footage come out right before WrestleMania Backlash. So we'll see what happens. We will definitely see what happens. But I absolutely love the question. It's definitely a legit question. So, yeah, Austin feels it's got to be SummerSlam. You know, Cody, remember, Cody is going to get a championship. Cody, I don't think, will have to wait till WrestleMania of next year to become heavyweight champion. But I would think SummerSlam or Survivor Series, it has to go down. See, what we got to remember is this. If you have Drew McIntyre feuding with Roman Reigns, you're not going to have Cody Rhodes also feuding with Roman Reigns at the same time. You want to put all the focus on Drew. But remember, Roman has 2 championships. And if Roman loses the Universal Championship to Drew McIntyre, that means Roman Reigns is just a Raw wrestler. I don't think WWE and Fox would be thrilled about Roman Reigns remaining on Raw. Kind of would screw up the Bloodline storyline if the Usos remain just the SmackDown tag titles. So you got to think about that. If Roman loses the Universal title, technically, he becomes a Raw wrestler. Yes, he can feud with Cody as a result, but are they going to go that route? Are they going to put Roman Reigns strictly on Raw? Or does Roman lose both titles in the same night? So, a lot of questions unanswered. But, you know, WWE has a plan. Let's see how they execute that plan. I'm not going to rip it yet. I think tomorrow will tell us a lot. Tomorrow and war will tell us a lot. SoFly feels that Ricochet has been booked pretty strong lately. I agree, but his wins have been mostly Shanky, Umberto, Angel. I mean, I know he's doing a little bit with Sami Zayn, you know, on the house shows. I like Ricochet. I mean, Ricochet is one of the more popular wrestlers on the roster, as is Finn Balor. But, you know, I just feel that Ricochet needs a real upper-tier feud with someone. Not just, hey, I'm a fighting champion. Whoever wants to take me on, you know, we can fight. No, I want to see kind of a little bit of a blood feud with Ricochet and one person in particular. You know, who that person is, I don't know. I don't know. I almost feel like Gunther, by summertime, Gunther, I think, is going to be holding a championship. So will it be Ricochet's? Maybe. But I think Ricochet really needs a good money feud with someone. You know what? It could end up being Sami Zayn. Even though they have history, they could possibly revisit that, because who is Sami Zayn really going to feud with outside of Ricochet at the moment? So, by the way, if you haven't seen the footage of their tour in France, I mean, the crowd is spectacular. I know several WWE wrestlers, and they're not just saying it to make France feel good, but they really went out of their way to talk about how, I don't remember who it was, it might have been Sami Zayn, but somebody said, I mean, as far as getting back on touring, especially on, you know, overseas, this is like their greatest, you know, like crowds that they could remember. I mean, they really are making a big deal. It's fun. I mean, that chant for Butch alone. I mean, Butch is not French, and they went crazy for Butch. I mean, I like to see that in different countries. That's why I can't crap on Saudi Arabia events. I know the government, I know the controversy, but at the end of the day, you got fans, you know, us, even some of you who live maybe in the UK, you know, you get WWE touring in your countries a little bit more often than other areas. When you watch from thousands and thousands of miles afar, I mean, you know, in some cases, 7,000-8,000 miles away, and you finally get a chance to see them up close and personal, you know, it is a tremendous, you know, experience. I mean, look, I still think about events that I went to as a kid that will stay with me for the rest of my life. You know, that I just close my eyes and I relive it. You know, and it gets a little sad because you don't get those moments like you used to. So it's a big deal for those countries so far away to get to experience WWE up close and personal. I hope AEW does a nice tour overseas, and not just in coordination with another promotion. You know, they think they really need to do, you know, one or two international tours by next year. And, you know, we'll see what happens. So, TJ says Backlash 2000 is a memory you'll never forget. You know, a lot of memories, you know, they stick with you. I mean, you know, just events that I went to as a kid, you know, being with my friends, being with my grandmother. And in fact, this last week was the anniversary of my grandmother passing away 31 years ago. And, you know, that's one of those I remember where I was when it happened moments. So right about now is the anniversary that we buried her. And, you know, when we buried her, I put in her hands, I know it sounds corny now in 2022, but I put a Hulk Hogan figure in her hands. She idolized Hulk Hogan. You know, she's, you know, at the time, 60-something year old, very, very heavy, you know, old lady that grew up loving wrestling, believing that it was real. And in 1991, this was really before a lot of the Hogan controversy, and she just beloved the guy. I've told the stories about when I would show her the Piper figure, she'd throw that shit across the room. Get that shit away from me. Yeah, she hated Piper. So, all right. So what else is on your mind SoFly says Gunther is teasing a match against Tyson Fury. I don't want to see that. I know Tyson Fury, they were teasing him and Drew McIntyre. I almost feel that they should be teammates than anything else. I mean, I know Tyson Fury, you know, trained a little bit for his match in Saudi Arabia. I thought it was okay. And don't get me wrong, Tyson Fury is one of the top-tier boxers in recent memory. The guy is an uber athlete, very, very well-liked. But, you know, if he's going to be part of WWE, you know, if it's just going to be for a very short-term, temporary basis, I really do have no interest in seeing him, you know, pin people like Gunther and others. I wouldn't want to see it. Gunther versus Drew McIntyre, Mike, that's a great match. I think that would be spectacular. I want to see the Gunther and the Sami Zayn interaction. I want to see Sammy react to some of those chants. So, did Hogan sleep with Miss Elizabeth? How do I know? Seriously, how do any of us know? The only people that truly know is Hogan and Miss Elizabeth. I mean, at the end of the day, unless, you know, someone was in the room or Macho Man had the room bugged, you know, back then you didn't have little, you know, little security cameras, the ring stuff and all that. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. People could claim that they know. Nobody knows. So, Michael is asking, what do I think is the end game with the Ezekiel gimmick? Personally, I'm enjoying it. You know, before Monday became a solo show, you know, we had a couple of friendly debates about Ezekiel character, and I expressed a lot of excitement. I said, I think this is going to be a diamond in the rough. Is it going to be one of the greatest, funniest storylines of all time? No. But I think some of the comedy fodder would actually be really good, and I'm enjoying it so far. And, you know, look, you look at Monday's eight-man tag. Yeah, Cody, Randy Orton, Riddle, and Ezekiel. You know, getting elevated right before our eyes. Should he become a heavyweight champion? I would say no at the moment. I would say no in the immediate future. But it's a fun storyline. You know, it's better than him, you know, because they did this stupid thing where, you know, he burned everything and Elias was dead. So now you have Ezekiel. Personally, where I would like to see it go is I want him to slowly start growing the beard back. And as he grows the beard back, you know, you could have Kevin Owens losing his shit even further. You look at more and more like Elias, you know. Eventually, he will reveal that he is Elias. We know that it's Elias, but it's a fun storyline. It's working. The crowd is enjoying it. Elias is very talented. What was the big frustration? Think about it. What was the big frustration that we all had about Elias when he was around in that gimmick? Most was like singing, putting down the local area, and his matches were not really good. They weren't long. Didn't feel like there was any elevation or push. It was just, let me put down the town, get some heel heat. He'd job out most of the time. He never really got to showcase how great he is in the ring. Is he one of the best? No. But this is allowing him to actually wrestle more. So I'm liking it. Dream feels it's not Elias. I had to put the air conditioner on. Getting hot in here quickly. I think it's because of downing this in one shot. I think my body's like, what the hell did you just do? At least my cream soda Zevia is caffeine free. So, would I consider getting another co-host for Mondays, Brian? No, no. My day of co-hosts on a regular basis are over. No, I doubt it. I'd be very, very shocked. Having somebody on once in a while, absolutely. But, you know, look, you know what's funny? a few people pointed it out to me. You know the outro for the episodes, the Goodfellas outro that I have? You actually listen to some of the wording in that outro, it actually kind of reflects. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, it ended up the way it did. It's very, very, very difficult to do business with people these days. It's very hard for everybody to be on the same level. It's very hard. Like I said, you know, I know that there were clips put online or everybody wants to talk about me, you know, get attention to it. You know, the fact of the matter is that just like when Kevin and I split, you know, everybody came to their own conclusion instead of hearing it straight, you know, talking together. Now, obviously, we didn't have a conversation together publicly on shows because after what, you know, I finally was able to show, it's like, no, I don't want to do business, you know, and that's it. But in this case, this was a situation where the other person didn't want to talk to me, didn't want to discuss it. I went back and I watched that last episode, and the reason of leaving is focusing on their own projects, which is fine. Next thing I know, there's a 90-minute discussion that is 100% false. So the fact of the matter is I'm making deals and not telling people about it or not including people about it. First of all, the video deal that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it's not finalized yet. And it has nothing to do with any other shit. So honestly, no, less headaches, less stress, you know, people trying to compare things to this. Oh, you know, somebody doesn't show up or somebody is ill or somebody is this, that I'm kind of cold to the situation. Motherfucker, I had two cancer scares. I just got snipped last week that I'm going to find out this week if I have prostate cancer. And the same people who feel that I'm cold to others says, oh, he's just throwing that out there to get sympathy. You know, it's like, I don't want drama. I just want to have fun. I want to hang out with all of you. And all I know is that less people, less drama. Plain and simple. So, Muhammad, respectfully, people enjoy the dynamic with a two-person team. Yeah, I get that. I get that. So go enjoy two-person team elsewhere. I do not have any interest on having a regular co-host anymore, period. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I passed up a lot of opportunities over the years so everybody could pretty much be in the same sync and say, I don't do that anymore. Because no one out there, and I'm saying this sincerely, no one out there should sacrifice their opportunities for me. And I should not have to sacrifice my opportunities for others. And my opportunities, if you don't ask me one-on-one what exactly those opportunities are, then you don't know. You don't know. I am not going to keep controversy. In fact, we're moving on. Moving on. I'm not, I have no interest anymore. You know, I have no interest in it. People could say, oh, I don't get along with co-hosts. People, you know what's the funny thing about it? People expect me to just go back to audio only, make no money, work 80 hours, doing all the background work, just do it just to do it, and I should accept that and be it. The more deals I get, the more alone I get. You know, it's just the way it is. All I know is, hey, you know, I have the privilege of working with Blue Wire. I have the privilege of working with Playback. This other deal gets finalized. That's another deal. I didn't get those from blowing anybody. I didn't get those from lying to anybody. I got those from working hard. And honestly, I am not going to sacrifice anything. And that's why none of you out there should ever sacrifice your opportunities to please others. Because at the end of the day, everybody seems to forget about all the sacrifices you do over the years. At the end of the day, you'll always be the bad guy. At the end of the day, I'll always be the bad guy. At the end of the day, a lot of people will feel that Mish is the bad guy. At the end of the day, a lot of people are going to feel that Kevin is the bad guy. And that's unfair to everybody. It's unfair to everybody. But no, I am never going to feel guilty for, you know, trying to progress and do better. And the bottom line is, you know, I'm here for all of you. I'm not leaving. So I'm here for all of you. And honestly, that's all that matters. So, Dragon, what was it like to watch boxing during the age of Mike Tyson? I don't know if you're a baseball fan. And if you are, you'll understand what I say about this. Anyone out there that's a baseball fan, if you have a particular really favorite baseball player that you loved watch growing up, you really can't use the basketball or football or hockey example, because in those games, your favorite is on the court most of the game. For football, your favorite is either on defense or on offense for most of the game. When it comes to baseball, your favorite player comes to the plate maybe four times a game, five, you know, if you're scoring some good runs. And in my, you know, growing up, Reggie Jackson, Daryl Strawberry, you know, just to name two. Later on, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire caught my attention. You know, there were players where when they got up at bat, I stopped what I was doing and I would only watch them. Like, everything had to stop. And Reggie is my favorite of all time. And sometimes Reggie would strike out and it would be fun. Mike Tyson was one of those people that when it was time to watch him box, everybody stopped what they were doing. We'd have parties. When he lost to Buster Douglas, I still remember me and my friends were sitting in my car. We did not buy the pay-per-view. I don't think we could afford. Well, it's not a matter of affording, but, you know, it was just we sat in the car. And we were listening to an AM news station. I think it was WFAN. And they would give us updates as the match went on. And you would just stop what you were doing. Mike Tyson was crazy, man. Mike Tyson was, look, I know you really can't see it, but that picture right there is Mike Tyson. I don't know if you can see it. Yeah, look. See it? That's Mike Tyson. I was a huge fan of Mike Tyson, and he was one of those that you stopped what you were doing. When he got accused of rape, you know, we wanted to believe that it wasn't true, but I will tell you this, it's amazing how much that man transformed in the last 10 years. It's unbelievable. I watched him do interviews with regular news stations, and I would like feel very uncomfortable. I'm like, he'll snap in a second. Now he's mellow, he's funny, he's friendly. Like, a lot of that hate, I mean, I know some people try to push his buttons. I know about the recent plane incident, but if you would have said to me 20 years ago that Mike Tyson 20 years later would be what he is now, I would say you're nuts. Or he would, there was something wrong with his brain. And for those that don't tune in on a regular basis, I have the opportunity to interview Mike Tyson. I'm not going to lie to you. I have not said yes because I'm a little intimidated. I'm a little intimidated. I don't want to sit here and gush over the guy. So, and the interview is to promote his working with Ric Flair for the CBD that they're going to be, or the weed that they're going to be selling. So, yeah, no, I never pursued it. Shout out to Neff. And you know what? Shout out to Awab Nawari. Eid Mubarak. So, I know some of you out there will know what that means. So, much love, much love. And I know he sends that along to our fellow Muslim friends and followers of the show, viewers, listeners. Family, I don't say fans because I don't have fans. We have family members here. Let's see. We'll open the phone lines any minute because we've gone 30 minutes. And tonight we're only going about an hour to an hour and a half. Tomorrow's going to be a big day to talk about, especially what they decide to do about the tag team unification. So, no, again, this is not going to be a repetitive conversation. I'm not interested in having a regular co-host anymore. You know, if Joe Cronin wants to come on from time to time, absolutely. Will I bring someone on from time to time? Absolutely. Regular calls, forget it. Forget it. Not going to do all that all over again. It's done. It's done. So, Trek is bummed because Vice has canned Dark Side of the Ring. Well, I don't think it's official yet that they have dropped it. I know what I'm about to say is going to be unpopular for some of you out there, but I think a lot of the people behind Dark Side of the Ring are trash. Are trash. Especially how, you know, they were looking for, you know, just, I don't want to say exploiting, you know, some of the horrible stuff. I mean, look, to tell the story about horrible things that have happened in wrestling, Dark Side of the Ring, absolutely. But it almost seemed like it was like a fetish, like an enjoyment, you know. And then you knew when you had people, you know, with that soundbite that could be manipulated or, you know, made seem even worse. You know, I almost felt like people had orgasms in that company. Oh, my God, could you believe what this person just said? I just think that's trash, especially in a world with so much bullshit going on and so much negativity and so much hate. You know, again, I don't mind sacrificing viewers and listeners in my shows to be straight up and real and a little more positive about things. We could shit on everything. I mean, you see people who shit on AEW all night long and they got a monster following. You have people that shit on WWE all day long and they have a monster following. Being fun and being positive is not, you know, the in thing to do. And honestly, Dark Side of the Ring, I just think some of the people behind that, not all, but some of the people behind it are trash, garbage. And I think some of the people who were interviewed for them, I think probably have second thoughts about speaking to them in the future. And if they can't get a few big faces to return, you know, who are you going to interview? A fucking referee? A janitor? The son of a neighbor of the wrestler? You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just think they thrived on the garbage. And yeah, there are definitely other topics that can be discussed. But I just feel like, you know, do the opposite side too. You know, let's see some positive stuff. I don't know. I just thought that a lot of the people behind it are trash. So, but Casey, why would you say it's a great series, but last season did a lot of damage? What does that even mean, did a lot of damage? Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong, but if you really think about it, how did they do a lot of damage? You know, that they couldn't just tell it like it was. They had to sensationalize things and they had to catch people, you know, into, you know, that's awful. That's awful. And that was their mantra from season one. It's just that as the seasons went by, they got more experienced and they realized, oh, we can do this more. Oh, we should focus on this. You don't think that they had focus groups to, you know, to see reactions, live reaction of people watching certain? They knew that if they went complete tabloid on things, they were going to get a lot more viewers. They tried to use topics that they thought were going to crash, you know, burn down the house with the ratings. And it did shit because people like, you know what? This is not why I'm tuning in. Plus, there's tons of YouTube videos of people doing documentaries about things that have happened over the years. So, Plane Ride from Hell? Yeah, I saw the episode. But there was, you know, why was that rehashed? Why was it rehashed? I mean, really, what did you get out of it? They just wanted to spin it and make it look even worse than what it was before. They just about ratings. And, you know, they had to enhance things, try to make it spicy. I don't know. I just think they're trash. Most of them. All right. So we're about to open the phone lines. So like I said, whatever question you want to talk about, you know, just right to the point so we can definitely get as many people on. I'll open the phone lines. Let's see, we're at 37 minutes. We'll open in like 3 minutes, and then we'll go about 20 minutes to a half hour, and we'll call it. Tomorrow's going to be an interesting show. We got some things to talk about. The documentary that I talked about last night, and I did get some of you who responded today that watched it and loved it. It's called 350 Days. Just go on YouTube, type in 350 Days Wrestling, and the documentary comes right up. In fact, last night's show, I posted a link on the screen that you could just click and watch it. It's really good. It is really good. I thought it was an old documentary until I saw Paul Orndorff. I mean, I know he passed last year, but when I saw him in the condition he was in, I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, this is very recent. Then you see Bret Hart, you know, how he's aged in the gray. You know, you realize that a lot of it was recent. So Michael is asking, do I think William Regal should have been world champion when he won King of the Ring? No. No. I know William Regal is beloved. I absolutely loved the guy as well. But nobody at the time ever thought that he should be heavyweight champion. See, that's the thing. You know, even some people who are popular. See, I bring this up about Snuka. I know it's an outdated reference, but believe me when I tell you, anybody who's my age and older that were fans of WWF in the early 80s will tell you also that even though Snuka in 83 was the most popular wrestler on that roster, nobody at the time ever said, oh, they got to put the belt on Snuka. You know, we're sick and tired of Bob Backlund. Let's put it on Snuka. Nobody, not even me. There were wrestlers that you never thought at the time. Look, it's unfortunate for me to say it like this, but 20 years from now, you'll have people that'll try to convince you that Owen Hart should have been heavyweight champion in the late 90s, you know, before he tragically passed, you know, 97, 98, around that time. Some people 20 years from now will convince you that Brian Pillman should have been heavyweight champion at some point in his career. You know, as the years go by and people get, you know, further and further away from their passing and they love them even more and they miss them, their status goes up. Nobody in 1997 or early 98 were saying, oh, Owen Hart's got to be champion. You got to put the belt on Owen Hart. Are you kidding me? I know Bret left, but you got to put the belt on. Nobody ever said that. Nobody ever said, even when Owen and Bret were still in WWF together, nobody said that at the time. That's not crapping on Owen Hart. When you realize you're in the Hulkamania era, and then you had that little spurt where it was Diesel and Sid Vicious and Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, once the Attitude Era came around, and once you had The Rock, and once you had Steve Austin and Triple H and Mick Foley, no one else is breaking through. Nobody ever thought The Godfather. Nobody ever thought Owen Hart. Nobody ever thought that. Even Ken Shamrock, nobody at that time felt should have been ever. Nobody ever brought it up. Show me wrestling magazines, or better yet, show me newsletters. Show me old retro message boards with their archives that are online. Show me where people in droves would say that. There was never any discussion. You have individual fans that wanted to see their favorites to become champion, but it was not a regular conversation. Danny Blackstock, hey, you paid for it. You have every right. He, in fact, I'll even put it on the screen. He just wants to call me a Matarazzo. Don Tony, you're a month at odds. All right. Before we go any further, and before we take calls, maybe in case you want to get up and do pee-pee, get something to drink, get yourself situated, I would like, if you don't mind me for a moment, Tommy D sent a 100 spot earlier. Goomba, what's the worst bump I ever took in wrestling? I, because of your generosity, I actually pulled the video of it. I will not have you all labor through 30 minutes of footage. We'll only put a couple of minutes on the screen. Depending on the beginning, if you all say fast forwarded, then I'll fast forward it. But what I'm going to show you is probably the worst bump that I ever took, only because I dislocated my shoulder and I broke one of my fingers as well. The chair shot that I took from Jason Static that I ended up vomiting multiple times that night, I couldn't find the footage, so I could have showed you that. But, yeah, this is footage from 14 years ago, and this is the probably the worst bump that I ever took. Now, I'll monitor the chat room, and if needed, I will fast forward it. So, yeah, we could just get right to the point.
Welcome to the second year anniversary show. Starting off. Oh, it's Jerry Fitzwater. Oh, I love this song. Oh, man, too great. Oh, man, this is great. This is awesome. This is Grammy Award winning.
All right, fast forward, right? Okay, fast forward.
We have some special guests here tonight. Let's give a hand to Don Tony, Mac Daddy Flex, and Jay Lover.
All right.
Let's get out here. Let's go. I'll start the second anniversary.
Worst bump that I ever took. The real Don Turner. Thank you, Warren.
Should I start singing another one? Anyone? Requests?
No. By the way, tomorrow, we're going to give away one of these Young Rock signed photos. I don't know if you can see that. I'll show you on the screen after. I'll show you on the screen after. Yeah, I had a big gut at the time.
Oh, man. They better not touch Jerry Fitzwater with Mikey, the head of security, right there.
I can't do his Fitzwater impersonation tonight, but I can do it on the next show. I would have to practice it.
Only hires the best.
All right.
And personal
security. Out here tonight. If something happened, what the hell is he going to do?
Like my my pants, Italian colors.
He has a black belt. You see it on his face right now.
What happened to your suit? Usually you are dressed in a nine down here. You are sipped out. What happened?
He looks better than you.
Listen, before we go any further, I have to let everybody know something. It was going to be a surprise tonight. Anybody can check on the internet. You'll see for yourself. This is not any story, and I have to let everybody know. We weren't even going to say anything tonight, but I thought it was the appropriate thing to do. I had a surprise that was going to come in tonight as a favor to me to take on Jay Static, basically take him out, and that was going to be Shark Boy. Unfortunately, Shark Boy lives in Dayton, Ohio, and for those who watch the Weather Channel, they got hit with a blizzard and he got snowed in over there. He couldn't make it tonight. Now, we didn't announce it because, you know, things happen, but I promise. promise everybody the next show, making his BPW debut. And if you accept him into this family, he will be here permanently.
The family. Always family. It's always family.
Don Tony bringing him in. Dark Boy. I can't wait.
Now on to something a little bit more serious.
It's coming out.
You're making me feel better with those pits.
All serious.
The last show, something happened to us that has never happened before. We got our asses kicked. And I'm not a wrestler. I'm not going to even pretend to be a wrestler. And the last thing that I said in this ring was that the next time I come here, that I was going to beat the pants, I have to say it nicely, out of Best Bodies, and I wasn't going to use a wrestling move.
There's only 2 minutes left.
It was supposed to be a tag team match. My two guys over here versus Joso Atrocious and Saboteur. But I made an offer to BPW that they couldn't refuse, and I figured you would prefer that a little bit more. And that is tonight in this ring, Mac Daddy Flex.
Yeah.
Jay Lomo.
Yeah.
And yours truly.
Yeah.
Versus Best Bodies.
Yeah.
Atrocious. Saboteur. And Tony Ho.
Tony Ho.
Tony Ho.
Hey, that's Tony Ho.
I forgot. No disqualification.
Yeah.
Street fight. Yeah. Anything goes.
Oh, anything goes.
Crowd wanted it.
Oh my goodness. Like that's just the way he likes it.
Why don't you come out?
Look, mousetraps. Mousetraps. Alright, you're gonna see. Alright, hang on. Alright. What you're gonna see now is when you see me go outside the ring, I'm gonna get hit from Tony Lowe and he's gonna throw me into the barricades. And if you look at the barricades, they're not your normal barricades. These were thick steel. And I went into it with so much force. Not only did I break the barricades, but I dislocated my shoulder. And you'll see me holding my shoulder the entire time. And it was scary because the barricades it imploded. And I thought we hurt a few women sitting front row, an old lady as well. So the segment is quick. But if you watch it, you'll see the spot. Here it is.
Oh, here's so delicious. There's Tony Lowe, and there's the masculine Marvel.
Just pay attention to me now.
Oh, we're about to have a melee right here. Oh, Mikey better protect
Jerry. There he goes.
Mikey better, oh, go. Lead him out there and get Jerry out of there. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. What a brawl. They ran right into his guardrail.
The whole thing imploded. Yeah, I got a holy shit chant out of that.
Oh, who's this? Is the rest of the locker room clearing out? Wow, oh, they just trying to help clear the ring. Maintain order. Look at all there. Is ahead of security. Oh, my goodness. Wow, the chaos. They got to hold it back. Look at this. Look at this. The bad blood between these two groups. Oh, my God. Joseph is taking a DC diamond.
You see me holding my shoulder?
Oh, my
dislocated.
Goodness. Tony Lowe. Still go down with Flex. Chop saws out there. Oh my God, Sabotage still going at it. Oh my goodness. Oh my God, where have you been? It's the second anniversary. Oh my goodness. This match is just chaos. Oh, it's everyone. Best Bodies Inc. Don Tony's crew and security and the rest of the BPW locker room finally maintaining order. Wow. What a way to start our anniversary show. Wow, Tony Lowe's got to be held to the back. Oh, look at Jay Lover. There's bad blood between these two groups, Earl. Wow.
Yeah, my shoulder's messed up.
A street fight. Anything goes. They're still going at it. Anything's going right now. They should just have to fight. They should just ring the bell. Get it going. I can't wait. Don Tony's gonna step in the ring now. He is not a trained wrestler. He's a manager. He needs business.
All right, that's enough. That was the... Okay, we could take this off the screen, too. That was the worst. Dislocated my shoulder. I broke one of my fingers. But the chair shot probably did the most for me because I just started vomiting that whole night. That was not fun, so... all right, so let's open the phone lines. Let's get it ready. Those are the numbers to call in. 225-366-8669 or 833-366-8686. One tidbit before I do open them. If I'm on with someone, there's no hold. I mean, unfortunately, I don't have anybody behind the scenes to handle the calls. So there is no hold button. So if you see me talking to someone, if you just keep hitting redial, it's not going to do anything. So once I finish the call, that's when you probably should hit the redial. So, all right. So let's open the phone lines. We'll chat for a little while. We are at, believe it or not, 52 minutes already. So we'll go to 90 minutes. So I'll stay on for about 40 minutes. It's almost half the show. So without further ado, the phone lines are now open. And right off the bat, good evening, you're on. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Crazy Cruiserweight DT.
Hey, Cruiserweight, good evening, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, good. Shout out to whoever in Sweden that's trying to call in. Sweden, I'll try to get you through. So, Cruiserweight, what's on your mind?
Look, DT, I'm not going to mince any words. If this gets me thrown off as a Patreon, then that's fine. I'm just sick and tired of the constant same conversation, same topic over and over and over again. The Nick Khan effect, the inflation, the name change, the NXT has got to go back to developmental, everything. I'm just like, it's just making me just want to unsubscribe.
I'm with you.
Please, look, it feels like it's the same thing over and over each and every single podcast, man.
Yeah, well, last episode, I don't think I got into any of that, but I'm with you. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of that as far as, look, we all know, look, I filled up my gas tank today with $77. Yeah, I mean, so we all know exactly what the deal is. So, you know, hopefully if others don't bring it up, you know, I'm 100% fine with not bringing that stuff up as well.
Yeah. James Pasco in the chat. Who's off his pills? Because I'm perfectly
messing around with
you. Throw yourself off a bridge if you need to.
Yeah, they're just messing around. It's all good. So,
all right, well, have a good night, DT.
Oh, you too. All the best, Cruiserweight. All the best. Hey, I'm with him. Some of those topics, you know what gets me frustrated? I'll say this. Some of those topics, I feel that people really don't remember, like, where you hear those conversations come from. Especially when we talk about, like, for the last 2 years that NXT should be developmental. By now, it should be common, you know, knowledge that we've talked about that for 2 years. Look at the Triple H interview with The Athletic that we had to bring up yesterday. Just because people still don't understand why some people got released from NXT. You put Dakota Kai and Malcolm Bivens aside, you know, some of these wrestlers were not coming along as quickly as WWE wanted. And, you know, in their case, let them train somewhere else. If they pick it up and they do really good, then we'll bring them back. That's it. There's no controversy. That's all it is. Good evening, you're on. Who is this? Hello? Well, CB, I know if you know who you are, you know, unfortunately, it did not get you through. All right. 833-366-8686 or 225-366-8669. Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
This is Rams fan. What's up?
What's up?
What's up, chat? Oh, Pascal, you...
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Hold on. Hold on. I think I... Oh, don't tell me I just screwed something up. I think... Did I just... Wait, I think we'll get Rams fan back. Hold on. Hello? I think we lost Rams fan. That's what I get for putting people on hold. Rams fan, I'll get you back, buddy. Hey, you're on. Who's this? Okay. Not off to a great start. See, that's why I can't do... All right, let's... Trying to get Rams fan back. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
This is Eddie.
Hey, Eddie. What's going on?
Not much. You proved a point earlier in the show about, like, you being the nicest guy in the world and everybody still hates your guts, practically.
Yeah.
That happens at my work all the time. Like, I'll be, you know, if they want, you know, A, B, and C, I'll give them A, B, C, and D, and they still hate me.
Yeah, it's
one of those things, you know.
People out there,
get it.
Yeah, they just, people out there just want a reason, you know, to just, you know, I know everybody is down for various reasons, but, you know, I in all my years, I've never seen it like this, that, you know, you could have good things happen, and because it's not happening to others, like, if it's not happening to me, then it's almost like I can't show any appreciation to you. That's not, that those aren't friends. You know, friends don't do that to friends. You look out for each other no matter what. And, you know, even if you're not included on something or you see someone getting something that you wish you could have, I mean, look, I have family members that own houses, have brand new cars. I don't have that. I have a one-bedroom condo. I have a used car that's 11 years old. I'm happy with that. I wish I had more, but I don't. But I certainly don't put them down simply because they have something that I don't. And it's sad. It's sad. But you cannot let those people bring you down. You cannot. I mean, in a way, you know, that it's a wake-up call. You got to be very observant as far as the people who do that to you. Because, you know, like I saw today, I'll be really quick with this. I saw today a woman, very nice girl. She is online and she's got, you know, a nice little following out there. And she is friendly with a lot of people. But, you know, a lot of people on social media, they want to feel like they're celebrities, that they're characters like wrestlers they see also. And when you have outside people looking in, like they don't acknowledge you. You know, if you're not part of that clique, they'll ignore you. You have good things happen to you, they'll never acknowledge you, never say nothing. But the minute something negative happens to them, I'm not having a good day. My mental health right now is not good. I wish everybody would say a prayer for me. Now, when it's not going good for them, they want you and everybody else to reach out to them. But when it's you that, you know, should get the support in return, they're nowhere to be found.
Exactly. It happens all the time. It happens way too often. So pretty much at this point, I just sit back and they do whatever they want. If they need help, I'll help type of deal. But to a wrestling thing here, I still have the Don Tony signs from earlier this year. Do you want them?
Yeah, I'd be happy. We could do a trade. You know, I'll give you something in return. You know, maybe a couple of shirts, or if you want a couple of signed photos, hell. When we were doing the watch party the other day, I was going through this. A lot of this is WWE sending me photos. I mean, you know, I got this we're going to give away tomorrow, you know, autographed photo of Young Rock. That's all the stages of The Rock. But, you know, I mean, look, Liv Morgan from Saudi Arabia when she dressed up like Britney Spears. There's nobody on eBay that has stuff like this. I mean, they sent me stuff from WrestleMania that's starting to come in. I just got, this is from WrestleMania, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte. So, you know, if there's a couple of things you want in return, just either reach out to me by DM or, you know, email me and, you know, we'll work something out.
We'll do. And I obviously, like, I go to these shows, I get like the DMD signs, the Becky Lynch signs, the man signs, boss signs. I'll give you some of those too.
Yeah.
And then I'll put a sticky note saying what event it was from, because I have almost thousands of them. So I'll definitely give you them as soon as possible.
Okay.
Money's a little tight this week because of the Impact tapings in Cincinnati.
Well, you let me know what it costs to ship. Yeah, you let me know what costs to ship. I'll reimburse you. So I'll just take it out of my business account so I don't lose nothing.
It was nice talking to you. I'll let others talk. I mean, we could probably talk for hours.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hang up and have you talk to other people. Thank you.
Be well. All right. Take care. Be well. All right. So Rams fan. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try this. I'm going to see if I could get, I'm going to look at missed calls and see if I could somehow get Rams fan back on, and then we'll take everybody else. So just bear with me for a second. Wow, the only... I think we got it. Hold on. Let's see. I think we got it. Yeah, this might be Rams fan. Hey, is this Rams fan?
No, that's not Rams.
Oh, okay.
Fan.
I tried. What's going on?
No, how you doing?
All right,
how you
good?
Doing, DT? How you?
Good, good. What's up?
Hey, man. I want to let you get your opinion on. I was going to try to train for the CZW.
Okay.
And I want to know if, what age is it good for you to just start? Is 30 too old, too late to start?
Well, you know, if you're going to try to like train for like CZW or something else, I mean, I could tell you that I have friends who actually started training in their early 30s. If you feel that you have something that the fans would, you know, latch on to, no, 32 is not too young. I mean, I know someone that picked it up within 6 months and was having some matches and was doing pretty good. And look, as far as a local indie fed, I mean, if you're doing this part-time and you're doing it for a local indie fed and you're not looking to make this a full-time career, you know, you could definitely have some fun with it. Absolutely. You just got to be careful if you do sign up with a wrestling school. Just make sure you check that they're on the up and up, because some wrestling schools will convince you that you have something, and that's good and everything, but at the end of the day, they're looking to just get your business more than anything else. But, you know, look, you could come in as a manager. You know, you might be able to, you know, get a little bit of work locally. It really depends as far as how far you want to go with it. But if you just want to do it, you know, just part-time, locally, you know, have some fun. Absolutely. Absolutely. I regret stopping what I was doing. I wasn't very good at it, but you know, people seem to like it. And those shows were not meant to go to the next level for a lot of people. Those shows were basically local and there was a school attached to it as well. It's really how far you want to go with it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, because I'm from Philly. I live in Philadelphia, actually. And I think CZW is the only wrestling school that's in Philadelphia right now that I know about. I don't know no other wrestling school in Philadelphia but CZW.
Yeah, it's definitely worth giving it a shot. I mean, I used to do a show with a guy, his name was Smoked Out. And he actually was trained with CZW, and he wrestled for CZW on a few shows. And when I hung out with Smoked Out in the mid-2000s, he was in his early 30s. So here's a perfect scenario. I mean, you know, you just go on Google and just type in CZW Smoked Out, and you'll see him. And, yeah, okay. He did good. He did good, and he was in his early 30s also.
Okay, okay. So I know WWE be on that, not 30, you can't be up to the top and everything. By 30, they want to let you go and everything. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why I was trying to ask that question.
Yeah. I would try it with CZW and you see where it goes. And if it doesn't go, you know, very far, but you're having a good time and you're doing it local and everybody is into it, I'm telling you, 5 years from now, if you don't do it, 5 years from now, you're going to regret that you never did it. And you don't want to be in that situation, because me, I regret stopping when I did. I had no choice, but, you know, give it a shot. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, at least you tried.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything, man.
Much love.
Keep up the good work. I've been listening to you for years. Keep up the good work,
Thank
man.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Nice meeting you.
Same here. Have a good night. Be well. All right. Let me, now, I figured out how we could do this with Rams fan. So what I'm going to do, just bear with me. I know this is a little unprofessional, but there's like dozens of calls coming in at the same time. All right, let me try something right now. Oh, okay, now I'll get you. Now we get you. This definitely should be Rams fan. Okay. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
It's Salutations.
Very cool. What's going on?
What's up? Hey, DT, appreciate you calling me back, but I didn't have nothing too important to say. I just wanted to ask, where were you? What were you doing the night that Hulk Hogan won the Undisputed title in 2002 from Triple H? And what were your overall memories of Backlash 2002? And I'll get off the phone so you can answer the question. But
okay.
Before I go, I just got to ask James Pascal and SoFly a question in the chat. I heard they were going to cosplay as the Young Bucks in an AEW show, and I just want them to answer when they're going to do that. Thanks,
okay.
DT. Much love to
you. All right. Be well. Okay. I was doing my hotline at the time. 2002 was the same time that I was working with XPW. So I focused more on XPW than anything else. Now, I haven't thought about my hotlines from back then, and I may actually have some hotlines covering this, but honestly, I remember a lot of fans not happy about it. I know a lot of fans, you know, we were into the nostalgia with Hogan coming back. You know, WCW had gone out of business a year before, bringing back the NWO with No Way Out. And Hogan still looked good. Hall and Nash looked decent, especially Nash. When Hogan won the title, I don't remember much good being talked about it. I think a lot of people felt at that time that Hogan was given the title because of who he was and because that was probably part of the negotiations to bring him back. Of course, he was a household name. Of course, he was beloved. Of course, the history is there. But I know when you have Rock, Austin, you know, Triple H, I mean, you just, and I'm just naming those three, and then Hogan wins the belt. Even though it was unprofessional, I don't blame the way some wrestlers treated Hogan. I mean, if you remember when Shawn Michaels was feuding with Hogan and Shawn Michaels overselling everything, some wrestlers were anonymously ripping Hogan online. You go back and check out a lot of message boards. You could go on Wayback Machine and see it. Hogan winning that championship in 2002 was not as well received as you think, especially when he was retaining. I didn't like it. And I was a Hulkamaniac. I mean, I was happy to see Hogan, Hall, and Nash in WWE in 2002. But when he got that title, it was not widely accepted. The casual fans in attendance may have reacted to it and may have popped for it, but I know doing my hotline at the time, I know there were a lot of people, the majority were not happy about Hogan winning that belt. So I hope that answers it. All right, I'm opening the phone lines again right now. So they should be opening up any second. Just give it a second. 833-366-8686. Good evening. You're on. Who's this?
Oh, every time I call in, you pick up the phone right away. Fantastic.
Very
what up,
cool.
Don Tony? It's Kevin Milwaukee.
Hey, Kevin. What's going on?
Another Sunday, another fine call-in show, and another big playoff win for my hometown favorites, the Milwaukee Bucks, whooping the Celtics in Boston in game one this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Best show in town.
Yes, sir.
I'll give Tony D'Angelo the benefit of the doubt for the time being. You say a lot of good things about him. But if he starts calling his adversaries a matarach and threatens to take him to Scumbag Alley as if it's on the corner of Noy Row Boulevard and Jabroni Drive, then I'm through, because there's definitely a mole somewhere, DT.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people have told me to ask WWE if I could interview Tony D'Angelo. And I could definitely go that route. I don't know if that would be wise to do, only because Tony D'Angelo is so young in his career. And I don't think WWE really wants a lot of his background outside of wrestling to really be discussed. But I don't think he will be saying the word scumbag anytime soon. But if he starts using matarats, I may have a problem with it. He may get a couple of visitors at his doorstep late at night, knocking on his door saying, you know, hey, get those words out of your mouth. Hey, Tony D'Angelo, stop using the term matarats. So, but you know what? Like I've said before, you know, of course, they know who Don Tony is. And that's not even a cloud thing or anything like that. I mean, they're aware. I mean, I've gotten support. I've gotten a lot of free stuff to give away. I've gotten legal letters from them. But if any way, any of my stories, any of my style, anything I've talked about, if that sparked an idea from someone to come, I'm honored. I have, you know, I love it. And, you know, I think the sit down thing was kind of humorous to see how it goes down. But look, I want to see the character succeed. Tony D'Angelo has been doing a great job with it. I really have nothing negative to say. It's not his fault, but, you know, the WWE creative with him trying to do things to Santos Escobar and his family, you know, with the donut on the tire and, you know, putting plastic bags and newspaper underneath the fish. You know, that's not his fault. That's WWE creative. But I like what they have done so far. It is an outdated character, but that's okay. That's okay. It's pro wrestling. Not everything is supposed to be contemporary. You know, you can have a little bit of retro feel to stuff, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, something certainly would be rotten in Denmark if he called him a matarats.
Yeah.
My question for the evening is that, though. Yeah, that would be crazy. What's the most upset that an angle or a segment at a live event has ever made you? Mine personally, I was just talking to my friend about this earlier, was a Monday Night Raw I went to here in Milwaukee in 2002, several weeks after that SummerSlam, and Eric Bischoff gave the World Heavyweight Championship to my most hated wrestler, Triple H. It felt like I paid for a ticket to get kicked square in the nuts. If they were going to give that specific belt to anyone, it should have been given to Ric Flair, who was already in the ring. But I would have preferred a tournament for the title. I felt like they really screwed pooch on that one. So my questions, any aggravating moments at a live show that got you heated like that, DT?
Well, I mean, let me say it like this. First of all, just, you know, little tidbit about what you just said about Bischoff handing the title to Triple H. That is the same exact moment that I've told the story before, that I was on the Jersey Turnpike going to Philadelphia to give a TV station a tape so XPW can air in Philly that next day. I was on the Jersey Turnpike.
Wow.
And I've told that story before. We had an event for XPW. We were at the producer that used to do the ECW TV. We were at his house in Yonkers. He did the show, put it on a tape, and then I had to drive to Philly to give it to the TV station, I think by 11 o'clock, so it could air the following day. And while we were on the turnpike, somebody called either my cell or this guy Slash's cell, and he was on speakerphone giving us updates from WWE television that night. And all I remember on his speakerphone was the fucking Bischoff gave the belt to Triple H. And we were on the Jersey Turnpike, like, what? Like, yeah, he just handed him the title. So that's interesting, that moment. But, I mean, as far as people, you know, winning and me being disappointed. It was probably more when I was a younger fan, you know, when I would see like some of my favorites like feuding with, you know, someone else and they just lose. I mean, I remember an event that I wanted Piper to win. I don't remember who he wrestled, but he lost. And because Piper back in the 80s never lost. But there would be a stupid disqualification here or there. But as a younger fan, that's really when I was annoyed more than anything else. As far as, you know, maybe ECW events, you know, maybe something there where, you know, but there's, I was never walking out of an event years later and I'd be like, damn it. You know, like, just damn it. I mean, I would feel that way a lot about Triple H in the early 2000s, but no, I really can't think of any particular event where I was just really angry and disappointed that, you know, somebody ended up winning that shouldn't have.
You do such good, honest work for your family members. You're the best, DT.
Thank you very much.
And one last thing. You see a clip like you just showed a little bit ago, and people don't realize how tall you are. You look so short sitting there in the chair on episodes. I would have guessed by you just sitting there on my computer screen, you were like 5'9" or something.
I have the chair all the way down. I mean, if I raised it all the way up, I would be above this sign. But no, I'm about 6'4", you know, 6'3.5". I mean, I never realized how tall I looked until, because a lot of those videos, I didn't watch them for about 10 years after they happened. People convinced me so much that I was so terrible about it. Like, I didn't even want to see it. Like, I didn't want to just watch it back and get cringed from it. But when I started finally watching them back about 2 years ago, yeah, I was looking, I was like, wow, you know, I didn't realize how tall I was when I was doing that stuff. But yeah, almost 6'4".
Man, I'm 6'1", and I hate that feeling of when your feet hang off the edge of the bed. So being 6'4".
Sure, it happens to me all the time.
Well, keep up the excellent work, Don
Thank
Tony.
You
You're
much.
A man of the people, and you've always got a friend in Milwaukee.
I appreciate
Have
it.
Have a nice night.
Have
a,
you too. All the best. All right. Take a couple of more calls. Good evening. You're on. Who's this?
Hey, yeah, this is Joe from New York.
Hey, Joe.
From Staten Island. I called in last Sunday.
Nice.
How's it going?
All right, pretty good.
My question was, I had one that I actually forgot, but I'll go with another one. So now they canceled the unification for this coming pay-per-view, correct? Do you think it has anything to do with Fox and USA going back and forth as to who, you know, should have the title on what show and this and that? I think it has something to do with that, if you ask me.
It could very well. It could very well. I mean, USA Network and Fox, they don't work together. I mean, you know, each one wants to maximize their ratings, advertising revenue, you know, all that stuff is very, very important to them, especially when these TV deals are renegotiated. So, yeah, they want the headliners.
They want a needle mover on there.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you got Roman, and we talked about this last time. They don't have many, you know, like I'm not excited about watching Raw every week, and a lot of people are. Like I said, I go to guys like you and Solomonster. And because I'm at work, actually, at the time that Raw, you know, airs and SmackDown. And then, I feel like this Backlash pay-per-view is kind of diminishing WrestleMania as a whole. You know, we're going to get all rematches. Do you agree? I mean, we're getting all rematches, basically, from it's a WrestleMania rehash.
Yeah. I mean, Cody and Seth Rollins, I feel that they just started, so I don't mind that continuing, but WrestleMania is supposed to be the end of a lot of feuds.
Yes.
And then
the Raw should be a reboot.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. That's why I kind of wish they would do the draft more like right after WrestleMania. You know, that I think that would probably work a little bit better. But you know, it's just I think with the unification, we got to see what happens tomorrow because WWE, I was thinking about this after I did the show last night. The way they did it on Friday, it was too, like, relaxed about it. You know, like it was just too,
yes.
You know, no reaction from the Usos, no reaction for RK-Bro. Why would they want to go along with it? Why would RK-Bro be happy about Drew getting involved and causing this match to change? You know, I have a feeling tomorrow may fix some of that.
Before I go, my opinion is another reason why they're crapping on these guys. They don't want they don't really want another Stone Cold or Rock. They want these guys to need WWE. Once you get to a Stone Cold, look at John Cena, where is he? He's out in Hollywood. They don't want you to really, you know, Vince on Austin's podcast, if you remember, Austin complained, you know, what about Cesaro? What's going on with him? Oh, he couldn't reach the brass ring. You didn't let him because you want Cesaro to need, you know, Vince wants Cesaro to need the company, not the other way around. Sure. And where's Cesaro? He's gone. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. I feel like they don't want guys to reach that level. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree in a lot of cases. WWE cannot, I don't care how much advertisement that they get because John Cena is a former WWE wrestler, wrestler.
At the end of the day,
WWE is not getting royalties from the movies that John Cena is doing.
No.
So every day that John Cena is in Hollywood and not in WWE is less money that WWE is making. So they're not thrilled. They're not. At the end of the day, as businessmen, they are not thrilled.
They're not profiting off of what Cena is doing and what Cena is under their roof doing matches.
Yeah. And Randy Orton kind of alluded to that last week, talking about Roman Reigns, that Roman Reigns will end up being in Hollywood also, but Randy Orton will still be in WWE. And 5 years from now, that could happen. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns may end up being full-time in Hollywood and not wrestling for WWE.
Yeah, I sent an email real quick. I sent an email to somebody about it. God forbid Roman has another health issue. They're screwed. What are they going to do? Yeah. If God forbid, you know, Roman has to leave due to a health issue, whatever the case is, and he has to drop the belt, they have nobody to put on a pedestal. Who, you know, Lesnar's out with hurt. How long is Lesnar going to keep coming back?
Right.
You know, let's be real about this. You know, they have nobody, and it's sad. You know, I'm 35, so I've lived through the attitude era. They call it the golden, you know, a lot of the guys listening to your show probably didn't get the opportunity to live through that. And it, you know, it's done. It's like the Yankees from the 90s. When we're never gonna see, you know, a WWE like that again.
Sure.
And it's sad. You know, they got Austin Theory now, who's just theory. My theory is they better. But thank you for your time. That's all I really have to say.
My pleasure. Have a good night. Be well.
You too, bud. Okay. All right.
He brings up very valid points. Very valid points. I mean, Roman goes down, or if he leaves for Hollywood, what happens if Brock doesn't work out a new deal, or if Brock gets injured? You know, you're going to go back to Owens and Rollins and Zayn. I mean, you know, you might be able to get, you know, Rock to return for a match, but that's just Mania. So, you know, I'll never forget when Cena did an interview a couple of years ago, and Cena was talking about how WWE doesn't have to be about just one person. It could be a team effort. And that was something that we all worried about when Cena was first starting to go to Hollywood. And one thing that I remember with my shows about 10 years ago, and if any of you out there have been long time, I had to unplug that, sorry. If anybody remembers a long time, 10 years ago, for my long time listeners and viewers out there, what we worried about 10 years ago was that everybody was on this level or upper main event, and everyone else was here. Like, you didn't have too many people that were right underneath, and who was going to be the next megastar? And I think John Cena started painting that picture, preparing everybody that, look, the days of an Austin, the days of a Rock, the days of Cena, Hogan, Sting, Flair, you know, like the centerpiece, that those might be long gone. And, yeah, I'm very concerned as far as where wrestling is going to be 5 years from now. So, hey, you're on. Who's this? Hang on a second. Hang on. I know what it is. Hold on. I unplugged something, so I got to connect you back. Just give me 1 second to try to figure this out. You know, boy, just give me a second. Problem is that I have dozens of people all trying to call in at the same time, and people keep redialing even while I'm talking. So just give me a sec. I'm trying to figure out how I could fix this. Hold on a second. Okay, I see where it is. Just give me a second. You know, this is the only bad thing about doing things all by yourself. So just give me a second. All right. I think, we got problems, everyone. We got problems. Like I said, actually, you know what? I have to put this. All right. Let's try this again. This may work. Let's see. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
DT, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now.
Yo, it's Alex, the Green Lion himself.
Hey, Alex, what's going on?
Good. I just wanted to thank you for giving me your advice from last week about what I'm going through. Okay. I really appreciate that a lot, man.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to repeat it again, but I really appreciate your giving me advice, Brad. That means a lot from you.
I appreciate it. I'm glad I could help in some way. Thank you.
All right. I'll do my best. My question of quick questions I could. Have you watched one of Sean Oliver's episodes of when he had an interview with a couple of wrestlers?
I've seen a lot of Sean Oliver's work over the years. Anybody in particular you're talking about?
He interviewed a ton.
Sean Oliver is one of the better interviewers out there. I mean, I loved our video, you know, early on, but then when Sean Oliver came around, I really got into his stuff. Sean Oliver is very, very good with his interviews. Very friendly, made the wrestlers feel very, very comfortable. Sean Oliver did great work. Kind of wish he would do more, but seems like they're focused more on rehashing a lot of the retro stuff.
Yeah. I mean, did you hear about his situation? Him, he was trying to interview Conan, but unfortunately he criticized Conan because I don't know what happened, but he kind of criticized Conan or something. And I guess he always put him in a dick bag too many times when they do the dick bag and stuff.
It's going to happen. I mean, laughing and joking and everything is good, but when you do it at someone's expense enough times, you know, you can't expect them to be all receptive about it. So, you know, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me. If I was Conan, I probably wouldn't be on there either.
Drinking my coffee. I enjoy watching the dick bag because it's really pretty cool. That's why I come up with the games for what I do. With my friends, they were pretty cool with that.
Yeah, they're fun. I mean, you know, it's fun to go back and see some of that stuff. But, you know, you could just watch some of those episodes and you could figure out who may not be all that happy with Sean Oliver. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see. And this is the last one. Do you talk about the DVD called the WWE 50 Greatest Superstars of All Time? Did you make that comment about that a long time ago?
I talked about that a while back. I mean, WWE is always going to overinflate people of today because those are the ones that are drawing money right now. We saw it recently with the greatest tag teams and putting New Day at the top of the list. I mean, New Day has had unbelievable success, and they definitely are Hall of Famers. But I don't know how much the arenas were sold out because New Day was in the house. But for other tag teams, I definitely could say way back when, some tag teams, people in droves would pay to see them. But WWE always does that. When they did the Diva of the Decade, I mean, as much as, you know, Sonny has turned into a tragedy, when the Diva of the Decade came out, everybody and their mother felt that Sonny is the logical choice, and I think they gave it to Trish. And, you know, maybe looking back on it now, everyone feels that that was the right way to go. But believe me, at that time, Trish still was not the icon of what she is now. And but this WWE is always doing this. This is nothing new.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she's not like Fabulous Moolah example, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I was talking about the DVD well back. I mean, I'd rather not put, in my opinion, I would not put Superstar Billy Graham in it because this guy has issues with, he's addicted to steroids. You'll probably talk about it. I was really pissed off of him telling Adam Cole and Kofi to take steroids. This ain't 1970s more. This is not 1970s now. We're in the 21st century. We don't do steroids anymore. And I think Billy Graham is too stupid to realize what is the 21st century means. But I'd rather remove him from that, and I would have put the Warrior in it because, surprise me, Ultimate Warrior is not on that list. Yeah. You know,
it's all agenda based.
Yeah, and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it's all agenda based. That's why I don't put much into those lists. I really don't put much into those lists. So, you know, and Superstar Billy Graham, he's up there in years, a little more senile. So some of the things he says are a little out there.
Yeah, I don't think he does. I mean, WWE doesn't. I don't know. I don't think they're not allowed right now. I don't think they don't. They're not allowed to use steroids. Otherwise, they're fucking. They're in deep crap. You know what I mean? This is the last one, and I heard the last caller he would brought up what about the World Heavyweight Champion? They should have brought it back, in my opinion. When the brand split became relaunched again in 2016. They should have brought back the World Heavyweight Champion because that belt is a so prestige champion. That's a true world champion. WWE champion as well. NWA championship is the world champion. I mean, those three other belts are so prestige belts. They're the best. Universal champion? I don't see it. I don't like it. You know,
a lot of the history.
They should have brought back the World Heavyweight Champion, in my personal opinion.
The problem with that is a lot of the lineage is not WWE's, and they want all the lineage to be WWE's, so that's why they did it that way. I mean, if the World Heavyweight Championship didn't go back as far as it did, yeah, I could see that for sure also. But, you know, they didn't want to bring back a title that they have to share the lineage with, so they created their own. And the Universal title, when it first came around, Finn Balor was supposed to be the first person to hold it, but he got injured. So, you know, it was supposed to help, you know, be another championship to build some stars as well and bring him to the next level. So it just didn't want to share the lineage with another promotion's history.
Yeah. I mean, one more thing. Since now Roman is going to keep both belts, and if I were their storyliner, I would have brought back World Heavyweight Champion ASAP. I'm not trying to fantasize it. I just like they should have brought third world champion, in my opinion. Just as my opinion.
Sure. I hear you. I mean, it's, you know, everybody feels a little different about it. I mean, but you got Fox and you got USA Network and they got to please them both. So.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. You know. Anyways, DT, it's good for hearing you, and thanks for the question. That means a lot.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right. You have a good month of May, of May.
You too. All right. All the best. All right. Be well. Bye-bye. All right. I guess we'll go another 10 minutes because I know the calls are still going nuts. So good evening, Yaron. Who's this?
Hello, DT. This is Muhammad from Sweden.
Hey, Muhammad. What's going on?
All good. How's your evening doing?
Yeah, I can't complain. Pretty good.
Okay, I called in part of it to apologize for my chat. I wasn't trying or meaning anything.
Oh, no.
honest with it.
No, I always welcome everybody's. I welcome everybody's opinions. I mean, it just unfortunately, you know, it's a lot easier when you do your own stuff, and you know, when you have co-hosts, especially when you know things ended up the way they did. You know, see, it's funny because it's almost like relationships. You know, relationships get tested at times, and you know what comes about it. You know, it really this was the first true test as far as us doing shows together, and the first true test ended up with somebody quitting live on the air, not wanting to do shows anymore for whatever reasons. And you can't force someone to be on, and you know, I don't wish any ill will on anybody, but it's like, you know, when you have, you know, things happen the way they are, if I do my own thing, I don't have to worry about that stuff happening again. So it is what it is. Maybe I change my mind down the line, but right now, a lot less stress this way. So it's all good.
I agree, DT. I was a fan of yours. I enjoyed your takes, whatever takes you had. I was very curious of your takes since the TV tracks clips. And I'm totally a fan of the show. I love your work. And apologies again if my
no apologies intended. I always
want drama.
Listen, I'm one of those. I give credit to anyone who is straight up with me that, you know, is willing to tell me exactly how they feel, even if it's something that I may not like, but at least you're telling me, you know, so no need to apologize. It's all good. All good. All good. Okay. Welcome.
As well, my friend, hello, he's chatting on the chat room. Hello, chat room. And I have two questions,
sure.
Of course. One's business talk, and the other one is also kind of wrestling. So many people say that, or not so many, in my opinion, Tony Khan is a horrible businessman, but a great friend. Like, exercising, don't you think if he, like, exercised Cody's option and paid him, even with while sitting at home, wouldn't his Cody stock be so low that Vince McMahon wouldn't have like paid that much? Don't you think that's how Vince is much smarter businessman, that he drives the stock down of his of the wrestlers so his competitors don't go? Isn't like Tony Khan kind of, you know, need to learn some things about from Vince?
See, I agree with you. Tony Khan could learn a lot about Vince McMahon as far as business and making money. The thing with Tony Khan is Tony Khan does not want to make the money certain tactics. And I don't think Tony Khan would want to send a message to other people in AEW that, you know, it's better for him to pay them to stay at home so their value goes down, you know, in WWE, if WWE wanted to pick them up. I don't think Tony Khan wants to operate that way. And especially since they're a private company and a very small company, if the other people there realize that Cody is being paid to stay at home so he doesn't have him go to WWE, I don't know what kind of message that sends. And if you have some people very disgruntled in AEW at that being done, all you need is one of them to leak it out to somebody online. That turns into a major news story. And then you realize, you know, what's happening. I don't think Tony Khan wants to be in that situation, but WWE has a crazy knack of building worth on someone almost immediately. I mean, you look at the Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn match at Mania. Of course, it was comedy and it was ridiculous. But in a matter of a month, they had TMZ, the whole world, talking about Johnny Knoxville. And he got a lot of press because of it. So even if Cody were to stay home for a year and then go to WWE, I think at the end of the day, all it does is it just makes Cody a year older, and he still would have had just as good of a match with Seth Rollins. He would have had just as good of a match as he's did with Miz and others. And I think in the end, Tony Khan realizes, wow, I just paid an extra year to keep this guy on the payroll, And he's probably in the same situation with WWE than he would have been a year ago. And look at it like this. WWE's ratings have not gone up because of Cody. Their ticket sales have not gone up because of Cody. The only thing that WWE has profited from because of Cody is merchandise. And it goes to show you that, you know, wrestling fans, I've always said this about AEW, and nobody really wants to talk about it, but, you know, nobody ever stops to think, how many of those 900,000 fans that tune in Wednesday also watch WWE? It's probably 600,000 to 700,000. And I know for some of you out there, you're going to be like, there's no way there's only 200,000 AEW fans that watch and only watch WWE. But if you realize that a majority of fans watch everything, they may not watch WWE as much as AEW, but because they watch everything, there are no viewers defecting from AEW to watch WWE because of Cody. Likely, they already are watching WWE. That's why the ratings have not gone up. CM Punk, there was a curiosity factor by a lot of fans. That's why they did 1.2 million or whatever it was. But at the end of the day, they keep signing people and they still keep doing the same ratings because there are no additional viewers just sitting at the sideline saying, oh, I'm not watching wrestling, but if they ever decide to sign this person, I'll start watching again. So, you know, it's Cody. I don't think Tony Khan should have paid Cody just to sit at home. I think that's a waste of money for Tony Khan to spend. So.
Okay. Thank you, Diddy, for the answer. And the second question, it's not a question, but I want to get your opinion and input on it. Personally, I do not give a, I don't care about women's wrestling or anything. I think it's slow. I think it's botches too much. And I don't think it's polished enough. So why do people like, why do people criticize companies for not putting women or for not using women enough? It's not like women are driving this huge rating. It's not, I don't really, I don't see it in news. I don't see it anywhere. I don't even see the conversation being about women and this woman does this and does that. So why do people criticize? Is it like a minority, like this stereotypical bad guy, just, I want more women? Like, I want to understand that mindset because I don't get it. I don't get the appeal. It's not for me. I don't. So why do people criticize and would give feedback for just the women? Any opinions you have on that?
I feel that no wrestling fan should have to, well, let me say it like this. No wrestling fan should be criticized because they don't like watching women's wrestling. I don't like watching women's MMA because I don't like seeing women literally fist fighting and busting each other open and making them bleed and everything like that. That is my preference. I don't like certain aspects of certain sports. If someone out there is not a fan of women's wrestling, that doesn't make them sexist. That doesn't make them anything. They just are not a fan of it. And when people force the issue, that's where it turns people off. What I think people refuse, I think what it comes down to is fear. People, is no secret, people are very afraid to voice out an opinion online that may not be popular because in fear that they are going to have people gang up and literally, you know, just totally try to shut them up and embarrass them into silence. And the reason why I say that is you look at AEW Dynamite and you realize for a 2-hour show that for a month, their champion Thunder Rosa has only been on for 3 minutes. And people, instead of speaking up and saying, look, how come the men get 85% of the time and the women only get 15? You know, no one really speaks that way because they don't want people in droves jumping on them. So instead, they'll say, well, they're getting all this time on Elevation and Dark, and that's just as important, and this and that. So at the end of the day, you realize that AEW does not showcase women's wrestling on network television anywhere near as much as they do on YouTube? And that should be a question. If AEW feels that the women are good enough to get as much time as they do on YouTube, how come they don't get the same amount of time on Dynamite? And I'm not talking about minutes. I'm talking about percentage. At the end of the day, you realize that there's a lot of women's wrestling that do not attract ratings. There is a lot of women's wrestling that do not get the numbers that men's wrestling does. It happens in NXT. It happens in AEW. It happens in WWE. Those companies will not throw women's wrestling on TV just to throw it on TV. So people out there, I think they're just afraid to speak out because they know that there is a large group of people out there that are just waiting to insult them, embarrass them, and, you know, scare them into silence. But at the end of the day, these promotions are pretty much proven what you're saying. Look at Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling, a lot of people feel that Impact Wrestling is not showcasing women's wrestling like they used to. And some promotions feel intergender matches are more important. That's fine. That's fine. For me, my view is if the women's wrestling, if they are as good as the men, I have no problem seeing women's wrestling. Last night's show was mostly about women's wrestling. It's if the topics are warranted and it's deserving, I will watch it. I will cover it. It's just at the end of the day, you realize that the promotions aren't stupid. They see the numbers that drop. They see the numbers that decline. You know, you look at, you know, the quarter hour ratings and you could start seeing a trend. So, you know, no one should be obligated out there that they have to like women's wrestling. And if they don't, then they don't like women or they're misogynist or whatever you want to say. I think it's ridiculous. You like what you like. And no one should force you to like something simply because equal treatment. Not every sport is heavily male-driven, and not every sport is heavily female-driven. And it should not be 50-50 simply because of equal rights. It should be 50-50 because the women that are wrestling are as good and as talented and as entertaining as the men.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just don't get why people complain. Not enough women, enough women. I don't care. I just like put whoever drives rating and whoever gives exciting. But thanks for your answer. Real quick, before I hang up, if you have 3 wishes, if you can ask for anything, 3 wishes, what would they be? But you cannot bring someone from them. What will your wishes be? And thank you. Good night. God bless.
Be well.
Inside, and good night for the chat.
Take care. If I could have 3 wishes right now, obviously more money, absolutely more money. Like to pay off my wedding, pay off bills, and be able to enjoy stuff a little more comfortably. I would like my parents to no longer have the health issues that they have. And I would wish that this climate of hate and just anger and resentment, jealousy, I wish it would go down a couple of notches. That's my 3 right off the bat. So, all right, we were going to go 1 hour to 90 minutes. We're almost at 2 hours. I will stay on for 10 more minutes and then we will call it a night. So, good evening. You're on. Who's this? Oop. I know Canada was in the house, but we just lost Canada. My apologies. My apologies. I am opening the phone lines once again. We'll take a couple more calls and we'll call it. Great calls again, by the way, everyone. Thank you very much. This isn't Canada, but it's someone calling in. Good evening. You're on. Who's this?
Hey, it's Bob. How are you?
Hey, Bob. What's going on?
Everything's good. I'm not going to take up much of your time. I just have a question.
Sure, absolutely.
It's about the AEW WarnerMedia Discovery merger. I wanted to know if you've heard anything about it.
I have, and I have heard all the controversy as far as some of the execs and their background and how they want to get rid of, you know, certain aspects of entertainment and almost like some stuff with reality shows and everything. I mean, honestly, I know that they want to cut like $2 billion in expenses. And some people are afraid, thinking that AEW could be on that list of cuts. And there's a lot of other people that are like, oh, there's no way that they would cut AEW.
That was my question.
Yeah, we just, honestly, my gut feeling is that, no, I don't believe that they will cut AEW programming, but I do believe that some of the characteristics of AEW may have to be manipulated a little bit. But only time will tell. Only time will tell. Anybody out there that is reporting like all the way to the left or all the way to the right, they have no idea. The only people that know truly what's going on about this are the executives within that company. That's it. And I don't think if there is any negative about AEW in the eyes of, you know, Discovery and everything else, if Tony Khan is aware of that, I don't think Tony Khan would go on social media and try to give the reverse feeling of it, because the last thing he wants to do is give those executives a reason to be pissed off at AEW. The days of Nick Gage appearing, I think, are going to be gone. I think you may see a little bit tweaked as far as blood. You might see a little bit tweaked as far as language. You may see them, and who knows, they may end up loving everything that they have right now. I think at the end of the day, no one knows. And until we hear something, I don't think wrestling websites should be trusted about this story, because the wrestling websites that that favor AEW are going to spin this in a more positive light. The sites that are more in against AEW will spin it as, oh my God, you know, they're dropping this, so they may consider AEW. I think the only websites that any of us should trust right now are the entertainment websites that have nothing to do with pro wrestling. When more comes out as far as the programming they want to cut or they want to emphasize or they want to this, when those sites bring up AEW, that's when we should take notice of it. But no news should be good news for AEW, but any wrestling website that claims they have a source is lying. Because if the entertainment sites and the cable TV sites are not talking about it, that there's no way that some random wrestling news site has a source that these places don't.
Yeah. Like, for me, I think that AEW, like, they are going to lose a lot of leverage, because let's just say hypothetically that, let's just say Warner Media offers them a new contract, but it's the same money from before. It's not an increase. AEW loses the leverage, because I don't see any other TV company signing with AEW. So I think, like, right now, Warner Media has the more leverage. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, you look at the two championship belts, the TNT title and the TBS title. If they're forced to leave Warner Media, those two titles are crap. I mean, they're meaningless. I don't care, you know, who is holding it. But no, I do believe when you have, look, anytime there is new ownership, you lose leverage, period. Because now you have to impress the new owners, and you don't have any relationship with them. You have no history with them. They're looking at you like an asset. These people, look, Tony Khan is a good guy at the end of the day, and he is a beloved fan of pro wrestling. But what Tony Khan and every AEW fan needs to understand is that the executives in Warner Media and the executives behind Discovery and all the stockholders and everything else are not going to look at AEW as beloved wrestling fans. They're going to look at it as a commodity. They're going to look at it as, is this content suitable for what we want to do? And they're not going to turn around and keep it around because they grew up loving Hulk Hogan and Sting and Ric Flair, and they just love pro wrestling. It is a commodity. It is an investment. And AEW is going to be looked at that way. And if Tony Khan thinks that he's going to be able to chum-chum with them, he's going to be in for a rude awakening. That's why I think you're going to hear about Shad Khan. You're going to hear his name involved more and more as it goes along, because he seems to get it as far as the corporate world and stock and everything like that. Tony Khan, it's a little bit different. He's a little bit naive and immature about that. So, you know, right now I'm not concerned about AEW, but, you know, you're 100% right. You know, Tony Khan, he cannot look at them, you know, simply because of the love of wrestling. They're just going to come in, and AEW loses a lot of leverage immediately. AEW, yeah. You look at the value of the Warner Media Discovery merger. You know, AEW is not worth that. AEW is this. So how does AEW?
I think they're worth it for the price, though.
Right, right. But if you look at the overall worth and the value and you know, stock and everything like that, AEW can't walk in flexing their muscles expecting to be able to call all the shots. Some executive, yeah. You rub them the wrong way, and some executive will say, sit down, little man. That's what they'll do. Sit down, little man, and shut up. You know, and he's forced to shut up. You will not see Tony Khan crapping about the executive. I don't think you'll even see him talking about it. I think they will be very hush-hush about it.
Like I said before, let's just say hypothetically, Warner Media is like not interested in AEW no more. I don't see no other TV channel that's going to get into negotiations with AEW. Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting. The next year is going to be very interesting for AEW.
Sure,
we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell. But definitely keep note of the entertainment websites, because as soon as something comes out about how they view AEW, those entertainment sites will be the ones reporting it.
Perfect. And also, I have two more quick questions. The first one is, where do you see Johnny Gargano land ending up?
I think the long shot is he goes back to NXT, but the problem is with his age and his experience, WWE, I don't think, wants him in that mold. That's why Ciampa was pulled out of there, and that's why you see some of what has happened the last couple of days. I think at the end of the day, I think Gargano does show up, possibly doing a little bit with AEW Ring of Honor. Impact Wrestling sounds a little bit far-fetched. I think Johnny Gargano may end up doing a little bit of the indie circuit. But if you were to say to me WWE or AEW, I think it might be more AEW, because Gargano loves the game. He loves to stream on Twitch. He loves, you know, being at home with his family. And I think he has a lot more freedom and free time if he worked out some type of a deal with Look, sooner or later, the guy's got to work. Sooner or later, he's got to bring money in for his family. They can't just live on what they have already. So he is going to return to work. But my gut feeling is he probably does end up with AEW.
Yeah, good answer. My last quick question is, what's your favorite AEW pay-per-view? And have a good night.
You too. Take care. I like Double or Nothing. I mean, Double or Nothing seems, you know, I wish that they had more of their WrestleMania type event. I mean, some people, when you add All Out, All In, I know a lot of people, because of, you know, the origin of, you know, their first event, even though, you know, it wasn't AEW at the time. But I wish AEW, see, in ECW, okay, ECW, talking about the original ECW. I don't know if any of you else out there, others out there, but you know what? We do have a couple of original ECW legends that do tune into my stuff. Big shout out to the few that do. I don't think that they would express it publicly. It would be awesome if they did. Post it in the comment section. Once in a while, we do get a surprise appearance by someone, if you notice. For me, the annual event for ECW that I looked forward to that was my WrestleMania for them was November to Remember. November to Remember 1995 is one of my favorite events. When they did 96, I still remember because they would always do November Rain, the music videos from Guns N' Roses. If any of you out there never watched those music videos that they would do November Rain to hype up November to Remember, go on YouTube. And I don't know if they're on YouTube because they might get all hit with copyright, but probably that other video site, Video Motion or whatever it is, if you do a regular Google search, I'm sure you'll find them. For me, November to Remember was always ECW's WrestleMania every year. Even though it didn't have a lot of pomp and circumstance, even though it would still be at the ECW arena for the most part. But I wish AEW had more of an event that you felt like the year could build to and things culminate with that. I think that that's something AEW should consider for 2023 or 2024. So, Liam Savage, shout out to you, my friend. My apologies to Bob the Builder, who's trying to call in later. I can't control the area codes. I look down, I see 647, I see 441, 445, you know, Canada, Florida, you know, it's all different. So, and not only that, through the company, you know, I wish, maybe we got to start a contacts list. That could be something that we could do in the future. If I save, any of you out there want your number saved? This way, as far as caller ID goes, your name would pop up. Which means if Crazy Cruiserweight's name pops up, I say, oh, we got to stay away from him. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Maybe we do that in the near future. I never in a million years. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. 344 missed calls. I mean, that's pretty crazy. So, Havili, good evening to you, my friend. What is my opinion on the reason why Razor Ramon did not become WWE champion? Is it because of Vince McMahon's love for Diesel? And what is likely to main event WrestleMania 39 on the women's side? Okay, that's pretty good on the women's side. That's a good one. For me, I would say, let me put this on do not disturb for a few moments. Okay. Going back to 1996, I could tell you growing up as a WWE fan and, you know, calling wrestling hotlines. I mean, I didn't start my hotline until 97. But I could tell you at that time, just like I said about Owen Hart, just like I said about Brian Pillman, I don't recall at that time anybody really saying, oh, they got to put the heavyweight title on Razor Ramon. You know, understand, you know, we're coming out of the 90s where Bret Hart was the exception to the rule as far as a heavyweight champion, as far as his size goes. And Bret Hart, physically, you know, he didn't look small. I mean, in 83, from 78 to 83, 84, was Backlund. Then it went to Hogan. Then it was Land of the Giants. Savage was much more muscular. Hogan, you got Andre, you know, for a split second. But you look at the heavyweight champions in the mid-90s, a lot of it was Land of the Giants. You had Diesel, Sid Vicious. Some of the characters they brought in were huge in size. Razor Ramon, a lot of people, again, you go back to the dirt sheets, you go back to the message boards, you go back to the chats and the transcripts online. You didn't see people in droves saying that Razor Ramon should be heavyweight champion. Razor Ramon was a cool gimmick, felt like Scarface, you know, Intercontinental Championship. That's all people focused on. People did not focus on Razor Ramon becoming heavyweight champion. Believe me. It was more about Diesel and Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and Sid Vicious. And that's pretty much where it stood. So that's why he didn't become WWE champion, because he was not looked at as a WWE heavyweight champion. He was looked at as more of an IC champion. That's it. If you know it, Run 2-3 Kid, I mean, you know, Razor Ramon was pretty big in size, but he was never looked at as heavy. Look, even in WCW, was he heavyweight champion in WCW? What are you going to blame it on? Alcohol? You going to blame it on taking, you know, some medicinal items? You know, did anybody in WCW ever look at, you know, Scott Hall and say he should be heavyweight champion? No. Strange. It's strange looking back on it, but Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, you know, whether it's WWE or WCW, people in droves were not saying he should be heavyweight champion. That's why it was never discussed. And as far as WrestleMania 39 on the women's side, I think we may see Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey. I think we may actually see that again. Look, we know about the finish of Becky Ronda Charlotte way back when. That has been quietly put under the rug because of, you know, the injury and taking time off and everything else. I think Sasha Banks and Ronda Rousey would be very intriguing. I don't think that's a match that anybody really talks about. I don't know if Sasha Banks and Ronda Rousey would be that good. I think that's a too much of a clash in style. But I'm going to say Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. I think that could end up happening. We will see. But I personally think whatever the main event is next year, it's going to be a match that we have pretty much seen. I know Becky and Ronda were more, you know, three-way because of Charlotte. And that was more because of Ronda Rousey's inexperience at the time. Even though Ronda Rousey right now, you know, especially on the promo side, has not been very good, I think Ronda Rousey, as the year goes by, she will get into the groove. I mean, my God. I mean, I know Brock Lesnar's got 20 years in, but did you ever think you'd get this charismatic Brock Lesnar? You know, even you look a couple of years ago, would you ever envision this? So anything could happen with Ronda. So I say we give it a little more time and we'll see what happens. I think the I Quit match is going to be a lot better than people think. So, all right. I know I don't want to cut the calls short, but, you know, we've been well over an hour with calls and, you know, we're already at 2 hours and 10 minutes. So, you know, we got to end it here. But great conversations again, great questions. You know, if you have any quick questions in the chat room, I'll spend about 5 minutes in the chat to close things out. If you put the letter Q, capital Q, before your question, it helps. It could stand out a little bit more. And after the show is over, if you have a question, post it in the comment section. I've been spending the last couple of days answering comments back. I have no problem answering a question, as long as it's something that doesn't require tons of research. So, have I noticed Brooke Wrestling Union comments? The only comment I saw was somebody interviewed Brooke Hogan, and she felt that it was time for a union. And the interviewer looked at her like, what are you, nuts? Do you realize why we don't have a wrestling union? I don't think Brooke Hogan realized that her father, Hulk Hogan, is the reason for it. But you know what? At the same time, though, you know, we're talking the 80s with Hulk Hogan. Why has there not been a union for the last four decades? At some point, you got to stop blaming Hulk Hogan for no union. It maybe for the 80s and maybe for the 90s. But what about the last 30 years? You can't blame that on Hogan. Got to blame it on something else. Nero Fay, shout out to you. Shout out to you. With the, what do you call the money in Israel? I never bothered to look that up, but thank you. Who should induct Randy Orton into the Hall of Fame? John Cena. And it's not even close. You could say Riddle. You could say others. You could say Triple H. You could see others. I think John Cena has to be the one to put Randy Orton in the Hall of Fame. I still remember, and I know I bring it up a lot, still remember, I think it was 2000 or 2001. If you ever get lucky and you have that audio, I have it saved somewhere. Go, if you could ever get the audio of Linda McMahon's conference call from 2000 to 2001, talking about a couple of stars being developed that will be on TV soon that they think are going to be the future of WWE. John Cena, Randy Orton. You got to put John Cena, in my opinion. Triple H is not a bad answer, everybody. I have no problem with anybody that chooses Triple H. Riddle is just, you know, it's been fun for the last year or two, but in the overall scheme of things, no. No. Any update on Bayley? She is very close to a return. Not yet. Similar to the Asuka situation. You know, we had WrestleMania. There was no storyline, so they weren't going to put her on WrestleMania anyway. Bayley will be back soon. She will be back soon. Who should break Ric Flair's 16-time record? Doesn't matter to me. I mean, look, sooner or later, somebody's going to break Ric Flair's record. Shouldn't be kept for infinity, even when Ric is no longer with us on this earth. Somebody will break that record. It can end up being Randy Orton. It could be John Cena. It's certainly not going to be Triple H, obviously. But, yeah, sooner or later, somebody will break. And let me tell you something. As the years go by and we don't have a clear-cut megastar, you might see someone much lower on the food chain make a run for it, because you probably see the heavyweight championship get hot potatoed a little bit more. I don't see Roman Reigns becoming 17-time heavyweight champion, because Roman, when he wins the title, he should hold on to it for long periods of time. You know, to get to 17 heavyweight title wins, there's got to be many runs where you lose it in a matter of days or weeks. Which main roster wrestler should be released soon, Gruss? I don't like pulling names out there. I think it's unfair, you know, for somebody's name to be thrown out there. I mean, you know, we see it all the time. I mean, there's obviously some names that we could think about. I'll just say it like this. You know, some names that are just not, you know, generating any buzz whatsoever, you know, I think they are expendable. If they're not selling any merchandise, if they're not getting any ratings, if they're actually losing viewers, you know, you see some storylines trying to put everybody in there. I mean, you could pretty much feel who is expendable, and whatever you list you come up with, I probably would agree with almost everybody that you say. Who inducts Cena? Could be Randy Orton. Believe it or not, it probably could be Randy Orton. I don't know who to blame on unions the last couple of decades. I blame it on all the wrestlers. You see Zelina Vega, I know I brought it up before. She left. She thought she had the whole world supporting her and her cause. And she looked behind her and there was nobody there at the end of the day. So, all right, I'm out of here. We're going to cut this off right before we get to 2 hours and 15 minutes. I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. I'm going to have to listen to it back on 3x the speed to take some of your questions and put it in a synopsis. So I got a little work to do tonight. It's 10:18 over here. So if you enjoyed tonight's episode, hit that like button. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. It's free. If you want to become a channel member, absolutely as well. And Nir, you didn't have to super chat that for the answer. I appreciate it. I would have saw it in the chat anyway. But it is six shekels. Very cool. Very cool. I did not know that answer. Shekels. I think it's shekels. Do not super chat yes or no. I think it's pronounced shekels. Shekels kind of sounds like makes more sense. So, all right. Tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m., right after Raw, I will be here. Obviously, the main topic of discussion will be the WWE change the storyline back that the tag titles are on the line once again. Let's see what they do tomorrow. I don't think they'll tease it up until Friday. I expect some swerve tomorrow. Something has got to give tomorrow. It was too a matter of fact on Friday. The board of directors, you know, made it official. It just felt you know, too convenient. So I expect something to go down tomorrow. So one last question before we go for Eric. What do I think the blow-off will be for Wardlow and MJF? They will have a match. It'll probably be at the pay-per-view. And so far, reminds me of Jericho and MJF. Remember when MJF had him face Hoovy and Nick Gage and other surprises? It feels like the same thing again. Instead of Jericho, it's Wardlow. So I expect a match to go down at the pay-per-view. I think MJF is going to be frustrated and say, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to get rid of Piggy myself. And they may do a stipulation that if Wardlow wins, he has a full contract with AEW. If Wardlow loses, then I don't know. Is he gone from AEW? They kind of done that already. So that's where I see that going. But it reminds me a lot of what they did with him and Jericho. So, all right, everybody. If you have any last-minute questions, post them in the comment section. I'll be more than happy to answer them. If not, I will see you Monday, 11:05 p.m. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you, as always, for the support. And you all have a great night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.